Hi everyone, thank you for coming. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about nitrogen, in particular nitrates. So blueberry is a versatile crop. It can be enjoyed fresh, frozen, or processed. You can pretty much put it in anything to make it taste better. Another benefit is that you get a high concentration of anthocyanins, which have recently been proven to bring a whole basket full of health benefits. So this is driving an increased market demand for everybody in the new health-conscious society. So looking at the production has nearly doubled in the last 10 years, and this is moving the production area from non-native soils. So blueberries are Vaccinium species evolved in wooded wetlands. They evolved in very specific soil conditions that were high in acidity, high in organic matter, and with ammonia as a primary nitrogen source. As they move production into upland soils, they're starting to face higher pHs, low organic matter, and a nitrate form of nitrogen. Current amendments have been to put pine bark around the base of the bush to kind of provide organic matter and maintain a low pH. So nitrate assimilation in plants, starting up in the far corner, nitrate is taken into the roots and it is it's reduced by nitrate reductase. This is a rate limiting step and it can be very energy consumptive. From there it's onto nitrite, and then there's nitrite reductase, and then it enters the GS-GO-GATE pathway where ammonium is in the bottom corner. Just for a note, if ammonium is taken up, it also enters the GS-GO-GATE pathway as NH4 there in the bottom corner. But since it is such an energy-consumptive process, nitrate reductase is often needs to be induced by the presence of nitrate in the cytosol. So in many woody perennials, you can measure high or moderate levels of nitrate reductase in the roots, but since due to the energy demands, plants often transport the nitrate to the shoots where the energy is more abundant. And so there's high levels of nitrate reductase found in the shoots. In blueberries, previous work has shown low levels of nitrate reductase activity in the roots with little to no nitrate reductase found in the shoots. So that's kind of the main, as these plants are being moved into the soils where nitrate is a primary nitrogen source, this limitation of nitrate assimilation and nitrate reductase activity in the shoots is kind of what we're looking at. So as a hypothesis, we hypothesize that the little to no nitrate assimilation in the shoots is due to a limited amount of nitrate being transported to that organ. We also hypothesize that we would be able to induce nitrate reductase activity in the shoots by supplying nitrate into the cytosol or into the organ. So our objectives were to induce nitrate reductase activity in the leaves by using alternative methods to supply nitrate. So we took three approaches. We took a traditional approach, which was the root supplied nitrate by supplying nitrate directly to the roots and then measuring NR activity in the roots and leaves. Two alternative approaches is we cut the stem and placed it in a nitrate solution. We felt this was taking out any regulatory effects of the roots that they have in nitrate uptake. It also supplied a 5 millimolar solution directly to the leaves in the xylem by the transpiration stream pulling up the nitrate solution into the xylem. The third was a foliar application made to the leaves in which it was applied to the leaves and then diffused in. So a little more in depth at the root supplied nitrate. We looked at two varieties, a southern high bush called Sweet Crisp and an rabbit eye called Alapaha. We used a deep water culture hydroponic system that way we can control exactly what nutrients they were getting. The plants were acclimated for 3 weeks in this ammonium-based Hoagland solution. After that, we started the treatments with a 5 millimolar nitrate treatment, or an ammonium, which we used as a control. The roots and leaves were sampled every 5, starting at 0, 5, 10, 15 days. And then at the end of that process, we extracted xylem sap to see what, how much nitrate was traveling in the xylem sap. With the stems applied nitrate and the foliar nitrates, we also used the same varieties, the Sweet Crisp and the Alapaha. But these plants are also, we've also started them in the hydroponic solution because we kind of wanted to maintain kind of a base rate of interactivity by supplying plants 3 weeks of all ammonium, maybe to deplete some reserves. So we started them in that, and then for the stem supplied was, after 3 weeks, it was cut and placed in an Erlenmeyer flask in the nitrate solution, or it was placed in just a water solution as the control. With the foliar application, we used the, they were in the buckets, and we just applied the foliar application right to the leaves, and they remained in the ammonium solution in the roots the entire time. So to measure these, previous work has always used the in vivo method with blueberries, but with the large sample size we had collected with the 6 replicates, we would not be able to process all those in one day. So we collected them and froze them, and then we came across a freeze-thaw method where we froze the samples, and then as we processed them, we took them out and let them thaw. And then we chopped them into 3 to 4 millimeter pieces, and then we froze them additional 4 times to kind of break up the cell walls and to allow our asagas to get in. And then from there we moved to a common in vivo assay that with potassium phosphate buffer that was then vacuum infiltrated and incubated for an hour. After that, we stopped the reaction with zinc acetate, and to enhance color development, we added a PMS solution, and then the nitrate that was produced from the reductase was quantified with a azo complex colorimetry method. So, getting to our results, the root supplied nitrate, we showed a slight increase on the Alapaha, but it was not significant. Whereas the Sweet Crisp variety did significantly increase the interactivity in the roots. So with this, we can show that we did induce interactivity by supplying nitrate to the roots, but the Alapaha was not significant. There was quite a bit of error. The bars are showing standard error. Our samples varied quite a bit. But this also showed that our in situ method was working accurately, as it did correlate well with previous published data as far as nitrate reductase levels. So then moving into the nitrate concentration in the xylem sap to see if any nitrate was being shipped to the shoots to be assimilated, there was no significant difference in the Alapaha, and there could be a slight trend in the Sweet Crisp, but it was not significant. So we would have to say that the nitrate treatment to the roots did not increase any nitrate being transported to the shoots. This correlates well for negative data, I guess, but with the leaf interactivity of the root supplied nitrate, there was also no significant difference in the treatments versus the control in either variety. Also concluding that the 5 millimolar was not adequate to induce interactivity in the shoots. So, and from this point on, for time constraints, I'm only going to present the Sweet Crisp data because it seemed to be a lot more sensitive to the nitrate as far as being induced. So these next few slides are all Sweet Crisp data. So here we have the stem supplied nitrate. Starting at the 0 up to the 48-hour. We did not have we have a 24-hour time point. It just hasn't been analyzed yet. But the 48-hour, it looked significant, but due to the large variability, it was not. But the 72-hour was significant. So the 5 millimolar was adequate to induce interactivity in the leaves. So this kind of showed us that the leaves can reduce nitrate and assimilate nitrate, but they are just at very low levels. The foliar application, it also looks, trends to be significant, but it's not. It took off in the beginning. I guess all we can conclude is that it was not significant to induce interactivity with that low of a treatment. We also have collected some other data where we have a 6-hour time period. Maybe it'll happen sooner than what we were expecting. And like I said, the Alapaha had similar trends for both of these treatments. We just did not get through all those samples. So concluding, supplying 5 millimolar root or 5 millimolar nitrate to the roots did induce interactivity, but as we predicted, there was not an increase in nitrate being transported in the xylem, and thus it did not induce any nitrate activity in the leaves. Our cut stem, supplying it to the cut stem did induce interactivity, suggesting that the leaves are capable when it is shipped up there. And the foliar did not. Some further research is going to be done as far as some gene expression. We're looking at a few nitrate reductase genes that have been predicted in blueberry, and then some Arabidopsis ones, just to see if something is going on with gene expression, because even when it was induced, it was at a very low rate. So with that, I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. Nish Malati, the UGA Horticulture Department, my lab tech, John Doyle, and the rest of our plant physiology lab.
Questions for Douglas?
Do you know what coenzyme or micronutrient is necessary for nitrogen
reductase? Iron and molybdenum. Yep.
Is not what ericaceous species are normally used to. Is it possible you're burning out your molybdenum supply in your blueberry, and that's why you're not getting nitrogen reductase activity?
That could be a possibility. It was supplied in the nutrient solution, but as far as we didn't see any deficiencies in molybdenum, but it could be a possibility. No, there's not a lot of the genetic data. The Vaccinium corymbosum, which is a southern high bush, was just released. Actually, I think it was in the northern high bush, was just released. And as far as differences, Rabidi we kind of thought would have done a lot better, because they've been shown to do a little more, grow a little better on higher pH soils. The southern high bush varieties seems to be a lot more sensitive. So we were kind of expecting the rabbit eyes to do better. Anything else?
Okay, thank you, Douglas.